This week, we're going to finish it up with some final thoughts that I have on this series and where I believe we are. If you look at Nehemiah chapter 4, I read this passage almost every week that I've shared on this, but I want to read it again. I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "The work is great and extensive, and we are separated on the wall far from one another. Whatever place you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us." So they were, how were they building? They were building together. They were on the wall. They were stretched out in different locations. So just to give you a little review, they had to come back. They came back from exile. They rebuilt the walls. They rebuilt the temple. Because for them, that symbolized the rebuilding of their commitment and their covenant to God. It was their national identity. It was the kingdom of God to them. And us as Christians, the kingdom is within our hearts. The kingdom, when we are saved, wherever you walk, the kingdom of God goes with you. The church of Jesus Christ also represents the kingdom of God. It represents who as well. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again, sometimes we've done a good job as the body of Christ as a whole is representing Christ. Other times we probably haven't done such a good job. But we're talking about building the kingdom. And said, how were they building? They all knew their importance. They all had their place on that wall, and they were working hard to build the kingdom. Now, in my section one here, the question I have for us is, how are we going to build the wall? How are we going to build the wall? Number one, under this. Let my teaching come out in me this morning, so if you need to take notes. Number one, each person, for us to fulfill the process of building the wall, each person has to be on mission, pursuing their purpose and destiny, and the destiny of GCF Church. And I said something, I spoke about that a few weeks back. Each person has a destiny. This church has a destiny. And if you're called of God, and as you are, if you know Jesus, you are called of God, you have a destiny, and you're going with your destiny, you're following after God's destiny for you. And if you're called to GCF Church, then you have a parallel destiny that are running side by side. They're running, and we need to run together in this. That's why it's called In This Together. So we're going to have to build the wall. Each person building the wall where they're at on the wall, and where were the seven pillars that we talked about. You need to go back and listen to that sermon. You'll see where your place is on that wall. Now, let me read this to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, "For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek." In other words, no matter what your race, color, creed. "Whether slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." We're a many-membered body. "If the foot says, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not a part of the body,' is it not for this reason any less a part of the body? And if the ear says, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body,' is it not for this reason any the less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as He desired." You get that? Every one of you have been placed in the body just as He desired. "If they are all one, if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.'" And then Ephesians chapter 4, let me read this to you. "For whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." So I don't know. Basically, he's basically saying is that every person, no matter where you are, no matter how gifted you think you are or don't think you are, you have a place in the body of Christ. You have a place in this church. There's somewhere for you to serve. No matter where it is, all of us are going to have different roles in different places, but we're all important. Every person has a purpose and a destiny, and you're part of the body. Every joint supplies in the body. It's like the other day I was walking through the house and I stumped my toe on this school bag of one of my kids. And I'm like, why is that there? And am I the only one whose parent ever was like, why is that mess in that? Why is this here? You know, and I'm, you know, doing this. And I'm like, oh, no, well, you know. I tell you what, it affected my whole body. My one little toe affected my whole body. And so when one person's in pain or hurt, it affects all of us. That's why I like when it said on there, the trumpet sounds, they all rally together to the point. Now, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but I'm going to keep going. But it's like there's a rally. When the trumpet sound, we all rally together as one man and one woman, as a body of Christ together. Every joint supplying. Knowing, and I say we rally together because if I need help, I'm going to call the person I know who's good at that. I need a tree cut down. I'm calling Kevin. Kevin, come over here and help me. He's taking a couple of trees out of my yards in the path. What I'm saying is, but there's a body, you know, I something happened. I need this, I need that. I know there's a body of Christ and we can come together and serve here at the church and serve one another. So we got to know. So number one, what was number one? All right, make sure everybody's paying attention. Everyone on mission, purpose, destiny. Number two under this part, it takes unity. Yeah. Say, we're separated on the wall. That's how I got a little ahead of myself. We're separated on. We rally to the sound of the trumpet. We're all one. We're one in GCF. We're part of a larger body of Christ in Greenville, Bible-believing churches who profess this gospel and profess Jesus Christ as Lord. Our unity has to be of the Spirit. So we have to have a unity of a body among us. We can't have grumbling and complaining and fighting and stuff and call ourselves Christians. We've got to have unity of the body. We've got to keep our mouth shut sometimes and not criticize people. We've got to be mature and grown up if we're going to do what God has called us to do here in the church. And I'm not saying that because I've heard anything. I'm just telling you, I'm forewarning you. That's not what we need to be doing. So there's a unity that's got to take place, and we got to unify under the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. We got to unify under the gospel. We can't unify under politics, people. We can't unify under political parties because they can't even unify themselves. We got to unify under the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our unity has to come from Him. Because I could go around this room and everybody's got a different view of economic policy and environmental policy and foreign policy. Let's just go down the policy list. We're never going to all agree on that. But we got to agree on Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the living God who rose again from the dead, who died on the cross so that we could be redeemed from mankind. That's who we unify under. The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. The one who was and to is and who is to come, the bright and morning star, the one who is, there's a name which no name, and every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. That's who we unify under. So, come on. I feel better after saying that. I'm just saying, Jesus, we're called to be a multicultural, multiracial church. We're called to have people from every walk of life in this church. We need to have people that don't look like us in this church, who don't dress like us in this church, but yet we can unify. We might can't unify on all these temporal items that are out there in the world, but we can unify under the banner of Jesus, and no matter what color you are, no matter what race you are, no matter where you're from, no matter what your economic, financial background, this word is just as much for you as it is anybody else. I don't care what country you're from today. This Jesus is for you. I don't care what race you are today. This Bible is for you. This is for Jesus. This is Jesus, all about Jesus. And I think we have said that over and over again. I just had to say it again. But I'm serious. The only way we're going to unify, and we've got to have unity to advance the kingdom, is if we unify black, white, no matter what your race, we unify under the gospel of Jesus Christ, that every person is created in the image of God. They're image holders of the gospel. And no matter what nation you are, Jesus died for you. That's where our unity comes from. It's got to cross racial lines. It's got to cross economic lines. It's got to cross political lines. God help us. It's got to cross everything because the gospel is above everything. Jesus is above everything else. We got to look up and not around us. Jesus is our unifying force. Now, I know I've harped on this, but I'm telling you, I feel passionate about it this morning. I say all this, I don't care what your politics are today, but there are some things we got to unify under. That's this gospel and the Ten Commandments. God has called us to live a certain way and believe a certain way, and we have to unify under Jesus Christ, the gospel of his grace and his anointing, but we also have to unify under what this Bible says is sin and what it doesn't say is sin. The Ten Commandments and everything that goes along with that, we have to unify under that point. We have to unify under the authority of the Word of God. And how do we accomplish this? It sounds impossible. How can we as fallen, fallible human beings unify? We all got different opinions. And I'm not saying you shouldn't have a strong opinion. Nobody's worth their salt that don't have a strong opinion about something. If you don't have passionate about something, something's wrong. You need to go check your fireplace. See if there's anything inside of you. You need to be passionate about something. Whether I agree with you, whether you agree with me, be passionate. But I want us to be ultimately passionate about Jesus. So we got to have a unity. All right, now how are we going to do that? How do you accomplish unity in diversity? How do you do that? Well, I think the Bible tells us how. That's what I love about the Bible. They have an answer. Paul has an answer. Jesus has an answer for us. Ephesians chapter 4. I always come back to this verse when I feel like I'm upset with somebody and I need to tell them off. Don't look at me that way like you never want to tell somebody off. I look like I'm the only sinner in the crowd. Everybody's got those moments, right? Everybody's got those moments. Y'all look at all me all holy. Yeah, I don't know. Therefore I, Paul says, Ephesians 1, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling in which you have been called. With all humility, gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Number one, humility. We've got to walk in a manner of humility. That we ain't always got it figured all out. We got all can learn from one another, not having pride for arrogance. That it's all about me, and I know I'm right, and everybody else is wrong. Or just coming in a humility to realize that we may not be right about everything we think. Uh-oh, Eddie. I don't like you said that. We may not always be right about our opinions. So if we're not right, we got the grace of God to cover us, so let's walk in a little humility about it. So if we walk in humility to one another, we can unify under the gospel of Jesus Christ, even when we disagree. Gentleness. This lists them out. Being gentle, treating people with respect, respecting each other. It says patience, having patience with one another. Even when we disagree or they tick me off or I don't like you somehow. Can you have people in church you don't like? Oh, Eddie, is that possible? That's right. Come on, Irene, thank you for helping me up here today. But you don't have to like everybody, but you can love everybody. Now, I usually can find something to like somebody about. Always something to like people about. But having patience to one another. Or having tolerance. Another translation says bearing with one another. Putting up with everybody. If anybody's perfect in here, raise your hand and I want you to come up here and preach the gospel to me this morning. None of us are perfect. The only perfect person I've ever heard of was Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God who never sinned. His opinions were always right. Tolerance for one another. Bearing with one another. Diligence. It says here, showing tolerance for one another. Being diligent. Or eager, the translation says. Being eager. It takes work to walk in unity. To build on the wall, we as people have to learn how to walk in unity. And it takes work. Yeah. You know, it's sort of like a marriage. It takes a little bit of maintenance. Sometimes it takes a lot of maintenance. Sometimes it takes a lot of work. And my wife is easy, so it's just a little bit of maintenance for me. But it takes some Don't laugh at me, Blake. Anyway, I'll just say this, but I'm going to be in trouble when I get home today if I keep up. So I'm trying to move on past that. I was trying to give you a compliment, baby, is what I was trying to do. But anyway, I got distracted. Anyway, we got to have diligence and work toward. Like a marriage, you have to work at it. Friendships, you have to work at your friendship. At different things, it takes time and energy and effort to maintain unity. It takes you sitting down and talking stuff through when you disagree, or you're ticked off, or you offended me, or whatever. Sitting down and talk, and then coming with humility. Even you say, well, I don't understand why you're ticked off. It doesn't matter why, if you understand it. They were ticked off, so you need to repent. You need to ask for forgiveness. Let's have a unity. And the last one, which I skipped over in that line, was love. Love. And it says here in John 13, it says, by this all men know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Have love for one another. 1 Thessalonians 3, in other words, have love for one another. And I believe love, it takes the grace of God to have love for other people. People that you don't like, people that look different than you, have different opinions than you. It's hard to love people who get on your nerves. Don't look at me again holding it now. There's people who get on your nerves sometimes. But you're supposed to love them and have unity in that. Love, and I believe it's a supernatural kind of love. I believe it's love that only comes from the Spirit of God as He bursts it within your heart, as He transforms you, as He uses you. You can love people in a way that you were never possible to love them in the past, or love them without Jesus. Have mercy, humility, gentleness, patience, tolerance, diligence, and love. This is what it takes for us to advance the kingdom and to walk in unity. If we walk in these things, I believe we will have unity. And we can walk in those, have unify. And we can see our place on that wall continue to grow and expand as we're advancing the kingdom of God. 1 Thessalonians 3:12 says, and may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you. For all people, increasing love for all people. People who don't look like you. People who have different opinions than you. People from different places than you. People you can't relate to. Love for all people. I believe it also means being sympathetic and being compassionate for people whose shoes you've never walked in. You know, I've never walked in your shoes. Therefore, I'm going to be compassionate and listen to what, even though I don't understand it. That's what unity is. That's what love is. Maybe I haven't been through what you've been through, but I know there's a compassion that I can have through Jesus because of love. This is what it takes to unify. This is what it takes for us to have unity, to build the wall, to build the kingdom of God, to grow this church and do the things that I have dreamed of us doing. All right? That's section one. Let's go to section two. What happens when you are successful building up the walls? Now, let's say we're successful at this, and we do this, and we're in unity, and we're advancing the kingdom. What's going to be the result? I believe we're going to see a lot of dreams and visions take place that we desire to have in this church. Go back and look at my sermon a few weeks back where I talked about the dream of building buildings and doing a lot of different things to see the kingdom advance. But it says here in Nehemiah 6:15, it says, so the walls were completed. They completed the walls. On the 25th day of the month of Elul, in the 52nd day, which is somewhere around August and September of the year, when all our enemies heard of it and all the nations surrounding saw it, they lost their confidence. One translation said their esteem fell greatly, for they had recognized that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. They lost their confidence. In other words, as you're unifying as the body of Christ, the opposition to Jesus, whether it be demonic, and I do believe there's a devil, I believe there's a spirit world, those who oppose it, they're going to lose their confidence. You know, there's nothing like, I've been in conversations with folks, and I think it made them mad because I didn't get all flustered. I don't believe the other stuff. I said, oh, really? Well, why? And I maintain my confidence because if you know your God and you know Jesus and you know this word, there's nothing but confidence going to come out of you. Even if I can't answer every question you have, I can look at you and say, well, I can't answer that question. But let me tell you this. I know what Jesus did in my life. I know how he transformed me. I know what the impact he's had in my life. I know there's no other name that can change a person and transform them like the name of Jesus. I know this stuff. And when you have confidence in who you are in God, it will make your enemies flee. They will lose confidence before you. And you know what else is it going to take for us to build this wall? It's going to take us having confidence in our God. So the enemy will lose their confidence when they realize that I'm not shaken or intimidated. They'll be intimidated as well. But then we got to have confidence and we got to have faith in our God. Do we want to see God do great things in your marriages? You want to see God do great things in your life, your destiny? You personally, you got to have faith. If we want to see things together as a church advance and we see the kingdom of God come, we got to have confidence. We got to have faith to believe that we serve the creator of the universe. And it says in the Bible, in John, it says that God created the universe in Genesis, and in 1 John, the Gospel of John, number 1, it picks it up and it says that nothing was created apart from Jesus. That he was there in the beginning and nothing has come into existence apart from him. So we got to have faith that we are believing for a God who is unlimited and can do what he wants to do here in this church and in your life. We got to have confidence to stand on his word and have faith that all things are possible to him who believes. Now let me just tell you, I'm preaching to myself more this morning than I am anybody else. When I was about 10 years old. I don't remember the exact thing. I remember coming home, and my mama, Philly's from the South. They're not from the South. We call our moms Mama. And so Mama, over in Wilson, would drag us to church every Sunday. She made us go to church, even though I didn't want to go. I hem-hawed about it, didn't want to go. Hem-hawed. I'm using all these old Southern terms. Y'all understand what hem-haw means? I didn't want to do it. Let's put it that way. I was just grumbling and complaining. All right. And so I went, and I remember coming back one day, and I was standing in my room, and there was one of these mirrors. You know those mirrors you put on your mirror, and it's sort of a full-length mirror. I'm about 10 years old. I don't know exactly. Somewhere around there. I remember standing in front of that mirror, preaching the gospel. And after I got done preaching the gospel, I turned and said, I can do better than the pastor can do it. And I sort of walked off. I'm hoping I got a little bit of humility now. Tell you what, pride starts early, y'all. I tell you, pride starts early. So I've been preaching to myself since I was that age in the mirror. So when I say I'm preaching, have faith, man, I'm talking about myself. For us to do what God has called us to do, we've got to have faith. We've got to have confidence in our God. We got to stand and believe. I feel like I need to pull out some old faith tapes that I used to listen to. But we got to stand and we got to believe God that he can do what he wants to do. In us personally, I believe there's dreams and visions that God has given some of us in this congregation. And every thought that we come out of, there's no way I could ever do that. There's no way it's going to happen. Yes, it will happen. By faith in Jesus Christ. By faith. These young people up here, you got so many dreams and visions that are all over this room in here. You're going to do it. But you're going to do it by faith. You're going to do it by faith in Jesus Christ. And number 3, section 3. Let me read this verse to you. It says, now the city was large and spacious, but the people in it were few, and the houses were not built. The houses were not built. It's almost like Nehemiah is saying, we got the wall built. We got the wall, we got the temple built, but man, there's a whole lot of houses that hadn't been built. This place is spacious, and we got a lot of room for it. It's almost like he was saying, I've only just begun. That's my section 3, only just begun. I feel like after 27 years of ministry, we've only just begun. We've only just begun to live. I just ruined that song for everybody for eternity. I know. Karen Carpenter, you remember that song? Anyway, I feel like we've only just begun. Nehemiah is saying, here, there's a lot of work to be done. There's a lot of people to be reached. There's what happens if a revival was to break out in our city and thousands of people got saved tomorrow? What would happen? What happened if we had a revival break out on campus and they're having so many students, they're having to go to 2 and 3 meetings during the week just to accommodate everybody? What's going to happen? What are we going to do? I've already said we're going to have a couple services here in the afternoon just to accommodate all college students. 12 o'clock, get them out of bed and get them here. I already mentioned that. Have their own 12 o'clock service on Sunday, so they'll come. Well, there's so much room, is my point, in the walls. There's so much in the kingdom. There's so many unbuilt houses. There's so many unreached people. Will the churches be able to handle it when revival breaks out in Greenville? It's going to take diligence. It's going to take hard work. It's going to take us all on the wall, realizing that every hand, eye, foot, we all play a part. So whether you're out in the parking lot or back with the children or you're sweeping the floor or you're doing this or you're doing that, we're all on the wall together. Whether you're doing a life group, whether you're advancing on campus, no matter what you're doing, you're on the wall in this together. In this together. 2 Timothy 2:5 said it. And also, if anyone competes with an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer, now 1 week I talked about the field, the hardworking farmer ought to be first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say for you, the Lord will give you understanding in everything. So it's going to take some diligence. It's going to take faith. It's going to take these things for us to continue to advance on the wall, continue to build the wall. You know, I have been challenged more in my life right now to pray than I've ever been challenged in my life. I am praying more right now than I have ever prayed in my life. Because God is telling me, Eddie, you got to get the field plowed up and you got to believe God. And if I don't pray and plow it up in the Spirit, it's not going to happen. And so I'm feeling more challenged than ever in this. But we all got to plow. We all got seed to sow. And so that we can harvest this together. So in conclusion, what's it going to take for us to build the wall here in Greenville? What's it going to take? And just to sum it up, it's going to take every person pursuing God's destiny. Every person pursuing God's destiny individually and pursuing corporately our church body. It's going to take all of us to do that. It's going to take unity. So we're going to have to be unified. That we're not going to let the battle of this world and the divisions of our society separate us as Christians. It's going to take unity of all races because that's what we're called to do here. And B, it's going to take confidence and faith in our God. It's going to take confidence and faith in Him. And fourthly, it's going to take diligence. It's going to take some hard work. But I believe if we do these things, we're going to see the kingdom built, the walls reestablished. We're going to see this kingdom of our God become the kingdom of His Christ. This work that the kingdom of God will come here on earth like we've never seen it here in Greenville. Thank you so much for being a part of what God is doing here. There's other good Bible-believing churches all through this city. But together, I believe we can build the walls and we can build the kingdom. Why don't you come up here, Beatty, and sing us. Father, let me just pray real quick for us. Father, thank you, Lord, for every person who is here this morning, who has listened and received what you're saying this morning, Father. I pray for each person that you would continue to speak destiny in their hearts. Pray that you would continue to pour out your grace upon them. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help us as GCF Church to build the walls here in Greenville and Eastern North Carolina and around the world. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've given us the opportunity to serve you, giving you the opportunity to worship you, Lord Jesus, that every part, every joint supplies. Let every person know that they're so critical to this church and so critical to the society. They're so critical to their destiny in the community and their purposes and plans for them in this community, Father. I thank you, Lord. I pray, Lord, if there's anybody here today that's still wondering, where's my place on the wall, that you would begin to just birth it within them. If they have it, whether what their career is or where they are in the church or whatever may be the place that they need, Lord, answer them today, Jesus. Answer them today, Lord Jesus, that they can know what God has called them to do. That they can hear your voice. thank you, Jesus, so much for what you're doing in their hearts. Lord, I pray that every person would walk out of here knowing that they are called of God, that you are proud of them, you have a destiny for them. And I pray also, Lord, that you would give each person a heart to serve and a heart to serve in the kingdom, whether it be at a workplace, no matter where it's at, that they would serve with all their heart, that they would desire to fulfill your calling and serve in whatever capacity you have them. Thank you, Jesus, that I believe, Lord, you've got great plans for our church as we're just getting started again. You've got great plans for the next 25 years of this church, Lord Jesus. Lord, help us to hear what you're saying. Help us to walk in a manner worthy of the receipt of the calling which you have given us, Lord. Help us to walk in those moments of unity that we need. Help us, Jesus, to be the kind of people here in this church locally that you would be pleased to blow upon us and to anoint us and to bless us, Lord, so that we, whatever place we have on the wall here in Greenville, that you would bless our efforts to reach people for the kingdom of God. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name.